who's and what's and whys and wherefores. Here you'll find your whatnots and therefores. So come on along, let's find out what's going on. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what your taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what you taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news.
Welcome to the current events edition of the Sweet Spot Podcast. This is as of February 16th, 2024.
All right. Thank you for joining us on this episode where we update you on what's been happening at the Disneyland Resort over the last couple of weeks.
That's right. I'm Lynn, your host, and Ken's my co-host, and we are both former Disneyland Custodio cast members, and we talk Disneyland. And like Ken said, this is our edition that we put out every other week of the current events around Disneyland. And on the alternate weeks, we have our main discussion, main topic, where we talk about Disneyland history. We have interviews with former cast members, Imagineers, authors, podcasters, just a variety of subjects. We do talk a lot of history on this show too. But on this episode of the current events, we're going to have some fun, exciting news to talk about at the Disneyland Resort.
You sound excited.
I am excited. I always love recording. So want to get off here right and say that we're also, like I said, former Disneyland Custodio cast members. We are also authors of the books Queening the Kingdom. We have two different, not editions, two different volumes of the book. Totally different stories and topics in each one. And you can get both of those on Amazon. You can also get the second book on our website at thesweepspot.com, and those are signed by both of us while supplies last. The first book has sold out for now.
At our website, Amazon,
you can get those. You can also get them on digital through Kindle and wherever digital books are found, and you can also get both of them on audiobooks, wherever audiobooks are found, Audible and whatnot. Also, you can join our Patreon to help support us. We are listener supported, and we are, what we do is once a month, we have a bonus episode that we put out that Ken and I record specifically for the Patreons. And we talk about just various topics. So a lot of times it might be to elaborate more on a current events topic that we discussed or something more that we want to talk a little bit more about that we didn't get a chance to. Other times it might be something about, you know, when we work there. It's a lot of fun. We enjoy recording those. We do that once a month. And then once a month, we also have Current Events Live, which is what we're doing tonight, where we have the Patreons that, So with both of these perks, it's $5 or more per month, and you get to join in the live chat room as we're recording the episode. And it's a lot of fun because you can kind of communicate with the other listeners, and sometimes I will incorporate the comments into the recording, and we just have a lot of fun with that also. So you can join our Patreon at patreon.com and search the Sweet Spot, or go to thesweetspot.com and look for the Patreon link on our website. And for $5 or more, you get those. So speaking of that, we have some new Patreons I wanted to mention.
Yay.
Yes, the first one is Justin Foster. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
The next one is, and sorry, I always butcher last names. But last names are hard because you don't really know. You know, there's a silent this or that. But it's Evelyn Clerkey. I'm sorry. Evelyn C. Thank you so much. Really appreciate
it. Thank you. It means a lot to us that we have people who are are willing to support us.
It really does. It's just humbling. And then the last one we have is Daniel. And I want to thank Daniel also. Thank you all so much. We really appreciate it. And Daniel snuck in here like an hour before we recorded this. So welcome, Daniel.
Welcome. Welcome.
All right. Well, again, you know, we try to read off the names as you join, and we may do that more often too throughout the year. But I think we need to jump right into it. But before we do that, I think we're going to have the D180. I hope. I have not heard from Eric yet. But if we are going to have the D180, it'll be right here. If not,
we're moving on. Insert here.
Yes, insert here. All right, let's get right into it.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Consi Ears, and welcome to the D180. While Ken and Lynn cover all things Disneyland, in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We start this week in Germany again because you know I enjoy talking about the Disney Cruise Line's newest ship, the Disney Adventure. It's hard to believe this ship will head out for its maiden voyage later this year. The builders have come so far from January 2023, where the first pieces of steel were cut. The latest news is fairly cosmetic, if anything. The bow of the ship now features a golden image of Captain Minnie Mouse. She's decked out in her Adventureland gear with a spyglass to help guide the ship on its way. Surrounding Minnie is a bevy of golden curls that blend in with the signature golden stripe that surrounds the ship. Look close and count how many times you see Pluto worked into the design of those curls. Let's take a quick jaunt across the Atlantic to Disneyland Paris. Their flagship hotel, the aptly named Disneyland Hotel, recently reopened with a fresh look and immersive theming. The Disneyland Hotel in Paris has the distinction of not just looking into the park, but being inside it. This five-star establishment is doubling down on its ability to deliver the royal treatment to its guests, and wow, the new theme pulls this off with perfection. What better place to celebrate the princesses and royalty of Disney animation than in the land of classic French castles? The new lobby is all marble, dark wood, and ivory tones with ample natural light. Overhead, a brand new crystal chandelier depicts Sleeping Beauty Castle in a new way. Composed of layers of crystal, the chandelier gives the effect that the brightly lit castle is floating overhead. It looks absolutely gorgeous. The all-new rooms feature lush and calm colors with plenty of gold accent. Elements from 11 Disney films are woven everywhere, from the carpets to mirror frames. And talk about the royal treatment, every room has a pillow menu. Yeah, a pillow menu. Choose from 7 different pillow styles to suit your sleeping needs. In a similar fashion of the Disneyland Hotel in Anaheim, the bedtime experience comes with a bit of a light show. The canopy above your beds illuminates, and the artwork around the room comes to life with extra enchantments. For those looking for an even more elevated experience, stay at the club level, where Princess character dining is just another normal start to your day. As with many of the top Disney hotels, those seeking the absolute top of the line a five-star hotel can provide will not be disappointed. The signature suites at the Paris Disneyland Hotel are themed around Sleeping Beauty, Cinderella, Anna and Elsa, Rapunzel, Belle, and even a Princely Beast suite. These places look like something out of a period film with amenities you can only dream of. Traveling to Paris isn't as hard as you might think. Reach out to our expert concierge planners, and they will help you set up the Disneyland Paris trip of your dreams. From travel to rooms at any of the resort's 7 hotels, to stroller and scooter rentals, we can arrange anything you need. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you'd like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both the Sweep Spot and Consi Ears. Then reach out to Lynn, your personal travel planner. He looks forward to planning something special for you and your family. For Consi Ears, I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Looking to go to Disneyland Resort in California, Walt Disney World Resort in Florida, Aulani in Hawaii, or on a Disney cruise, or Adventures by Disney Vacation, I am here to help you book the best vacation possible, and my expertise and services won't cost you anything extra. Disney pays me, not you. As a perk by booking a package with me, I can also book your dining reservations, park reservations, tours, shuttles, and more. Let me do the hard work while you get excited about your upcoming Disney vacation. I can also book Universal Studios trips as well. By booking with me this year, you will receive 3 months free of our Patreon perk, like our bonus episodes, and join in on our current events live. So contact me at lbarron, that's LBARRON, at concierge.com, that's concierge.com, or thesweepspot@gmail.com. Now we're going to have the current events. Ken, what do you have for us?
Well, Lynn, there's a few things. We got a good look at new animatronic that's coming to Disneyland, or basically a duplicate of it will be coming to Disneyland, because as Brady McDonald reported in the Orange County Register, Disneyland shows off animatronics coming to Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Walt Disney Imagineering offered a first look at the new Tiana's Bayou Adventure audio animatronics coming to Disneyland and Walt Disney World, as the former Splash Mountain rides continue to undergo extensive Princess and the Frog makeovers. The video posted to TikTok by TikTok, isn't that a Chinese company? Anyway. Videos posted to TikTok by Imagineering shows the Princess Tiana animatronic in her adventure outfit, wearing a lime jacket and a ruby red scarf, olive pants, and brown leather boots. And those boots are made for walking, I'll tell you. Okay, the Tiana-matronic is part of Imagineering's new line of cutting-edge all-electric audio-animatronics, as opposed to those gasoline-powered ones. You know, it's all-electric audio-animatronics used in the Enchanted Tale of Beauty and the Beast at Tokyo Disneyland. The Princess Tiana figure will be joined by animatronic versions of Prince Naveen, Louise the trumpet-playing alligator, Mama Odie, Eudora, Charlotte, Big Daddy, the King and Queen of Maldonia, and Naveen's younger brother and aspiring drummer, Prince Ralphie. So there you go. New animatronics coming. Tiana's Bayou Adventure will open this summer in the Magic Kingdom at the Walt Disney World Resort in Florida. Disneyland's version of the revamped attraction will debut in the fall or winter of 2024.
Nice.
Did you see the video, then?
It looked smooth. It looked like it was working well.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't recognize that outfit from the movie, but I don't think they're doing anything to do with the movie. I think it's its own story, from what I understand.
Yeah, they're taking the characters that were in the movie, they're coming up with new settings, new songs, you know.
Maybe there's going to be a part two, and this is of the movie, and this is...
There you go. It's an elaborate production to promote the sequel.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, we have our chat room Patreon supporters talking to each other and talking to us, so we'll be interspersing their comments as seen fit. So... let me know if you see anything in there, Lynn.
Yeah, there's some comments already that have to do with what we discussed. The Michael said the animatronic is amazing and so much better than the projection heads. Oh, that's true. That they were kind of using that often in Disney World, had like in the Frozen attraction, they had the projection heads, and well, they use it in the Mickey and Minnie Runaway. They use it in other, but yeah, Justin, zippity doo dah. Oh, never mind. Christine, the animatronic looks great. Keith, I know some people online complained about the look of Tiana animatronic, but I think it looks like the Tiana face character that visits at Tiana's palace. Right. It does. Yeah, that version. Michael said, making a 3D version of a 2D character is always going to involve artistic interpretation.
That's a good point.
Good point. True.
That's right. You know, you look at animated Mickey, I don't know about nowadays, but back in the past, his ears were like bowling balls, you know, and how do you can't make it that way, and Mickey, when Mickey Mouse is in front of you, you know, so, yeah. Well, MiceChat.com, of course, does have what you need to know about Tiana's Bayou Adventure. They have, so they updated it. It's Tiana's Bayou Adventure, everything you need to know about the new ride. Their definition of need and my definition of need are a couple of different things, but, you know, everything you might care to know, maybe. So there you go. So as always, we will have these links on our website at thesweepspot.com. So you can click through and get the whole thing if you'd like. And Lynn, if there's nothing else to say from the chat room right now, I say you take the next story.
All right. Well, the next one is from the OC Register. And it says, Disneyland doubles the number of Star Wars night events.
They're doubling their efforts.
Yep. It's from Brady McDonald. Says the Anaheim theme park will double the number of Star Wars Nights events in 2024, with the after hours parties taking place on April 16th, 18th, 23rd, 25th, 30th, and May 2nd, 7th, and 9th at Disneyland Park. Tickets for the Disneyland After Dark events go on sale Tuesday, February 20th for Inspire Magic key holders. Wednesday, February 21st for all other pass holders, and Friday, February 23rd for the general public. 159 to 169 tickets will go on sale no earlier. They always say that, no earlier, because they don't want you to get in line beyond there at 6 in the morning. No earlier than 9 a.m. on each date, with quantities and availability limited. Star Wars fans waiting in the online queue will be able to click on a new notify me option that will send you an email when it's your turn to buy tickets to the event. You will have 10 minutes to click on the return link when your turn begins, or you will lose your place in line and have to start over at the back of the virtual line.
Oh boy.
So that's something new. That's interesting. So yeah, I know that every time they've done something like this, not just for this, anything pre-sale, I always hear, and I'm sure you do see all the comments online about people that are frustrated. I've been online, you know, for 8 hours and all this. I got kicked off and I didn't get any. And so hopefully all goes well with this. And says here to finish up, says, noticeably missing from this year's event is May 4th.
You know why?
It's on a Saturday.
That's right.
I just guessed. Is it?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They're not going to do that on a Saturday.
No. But no. I was going to say, just a little plug for me, before I finish this up, that if you book a hotel or a package, this is something that we at Concierge can do, is get tickets for these special events for you. If you book a hotel or a package with me, you can, we do that. That's just another perk, but only if you do that, because I been getting recent requests from people that want me to just get them dining. Without, you know, so yeah, it's just with those things. But it says here to finish up, pre-party mix-in starts at 6 p.m. each night with a private event running from 9 to 1 each evening. No theme park reservations are required to attend the separate admission events. Parking is not included.
Oh boy. Well, so the tickets are $159 to $169. And no, they go on sale no earlier than 9 a.m. That'd be Pacific time, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's 4 hours of private fun. I mean, because the private event runs from 9 to 1. So that's 4 hours. But the mix-in starts at 6. And must be popular if they're adding more nights, you know. It's but they're not. They're not going to close the park early on to regular guests on a Saturday.
No,
just not going to do that.
Makes sense.
So,
but yeah, next year it'll be back. It'll be back next year.
You know, May the 4th. You know, can come in. You can come in during the day. You can be there on May the 4th if you get reservations and.
Oh, that's true.
Have a ticket, but yeah.
Sounds good. Let's see if we have any comments about the about what we just spoke about.
And our Patreon supporters get to join in the chat room. It's where that's where everybody wants to be.
Exactly.
All the cool kids are there.
Justin Foster said, at this point, I think you guys need to interview Brady McDonald. He's like a household name for this podcast.
We do like to mention where the stories come from. Give credit where credit's due. I'm glad that they're willing to dedicate a reporter to Disneyland and related news. So
yeah, it wouldn't be a bad idea to have someone like him on.
Yeah.
Disney John also said Disneyland website just crashed. Fill in the blank time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing the response. You know, we've heard it for things like the key holder sales and things like that. You know,
Patrick,
Oogie Boogie Bash.
Patrick is said that he used me, said I used Lynn to book our stay at the Grand California Hotel this week. That's right.
Nice.
Awesome. Can't wait to hear about it.
That's cool. All right.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to the next story.
Okay. Speaking of Brady McDonald, another story from the Register. Here's all you can eat and drink at Disney's Food and Wine Festival. See the list. And this came out on Valentine's Day. Disneyland, or alternatively, Ash Wednesday, Disneyland has released the full menu lineup for the 2024 Food and Wine Festival that will bring California-centric food, beer, and wine, celebrity chefs, and Disney characters dressed in their best foodie attire to DCA, Disney's California Adventure. The DCA Food and Wine Festival runs March 1st through April 22nd, with local, celebrity, and Disney chefs offering cooking tips during culinary demonstrations, tasting seminars, and signature events. The 2024 Food and Wine Fest returns with 10 festival marketplace booths offering small plates highlighting California-grown ingredients, DCA eateries and food stands, as well as downtown Disney restaurants will also serve festival fare. Fans of the classic Soarin' Over California we'll get another chance to hang glide over Napa Valley, Monterey Bay, and Redwood Creek when the classic version of the flight simulator ride returns during the food fest. Here's the menu lineup for the food booths and restaurants during DCA's Food and Wine Festival. And it's pretty extensive. So, if you go to the Register's website, you'll get a list. I think... I think the official Disney Parks blog also has that information. Let me check here. You know, this is obviously they keep doing this year after year, so it must be successful. There's the official Disney Parks blog. Nicole Cantore, I believe, or Cantore, her title is Digital Integration Specialist, Global Food and Beverage. So that's quite the title. Digital Integration Specialist. It's too bad they couldn't fill out the title with an N-E-Y, and then she could say, you know, Disney, that's my title. she has the story at the official Disney Parks blog. And again, they list, you know, they tell you everything that's there, and they have a list and pictures of the items. So you can always click through and see that. And of course, MiceChat.com covers it. Natalie Kipper has Eat This, DCA Food and Wine Festival 2024 Food Guide. So lots of coverage. You can click through at thesweepspot.com to get to those stories. And is there anyone in the chat room who is ranting and raving about the Food and Wine Festival?
Yeah, they said, Justin said, soaring over screen cuts. And Keith said he wishes the soaring over California would just stay at DCA. I agree. It is definitely the superior version.
Couldn't they do? I mean, maybe there's some reason they can't, but couldn't, you know, they have two sides.
Right.
You know, why couldn't they do one show on one side and the other show on the other side?
Because more people would want to be on the California one.
There you go. That's, well, yeah. People voting with their feet, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, they could have kept with the California theme. But maybe, I mean, if they wanted to update it.
I think they wanted something that they could play at other parks, you know, and I don't know.
I guess one film for all. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I always just thought that it was odd that they had that over Epcot. Like, they could have easily done a Florida one, you know.
Soaring over Florida.
Or soaring around the world. The soaring around the world over there makes more sense because you have the
Epcot, the World Showcase.
World Showcase, yeah. Just for California, it just seems a little different. But just said, I wish they could use the California one with the updated castle flyover from Soaring Over the World. Updated California.
That's right. Edit out Lynn. We don't want Lynn in there.
Yeah, I was there in that last scene. You can't see me. If I was able to like freeze it and zoom in, maybe. Yeah. But my wife and I were there. They filmed that last part during a Christmas party that they had for the cast members. And I remember we didn't know what that ride was even going to be about or what it was. They just said we're filming something for an attraction at California Adventure. And this is before the park even opened. They had a helicopter that would fly down the main street, got really low. It was crazy to see in person. And anyways, I talk about it in our book and other times, but John said, don't think anyone wants to soar over Florida.
And here you are. Bring your feet up or you're going to hit the swamp. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of pretty stuff in Florida and places to fly over there. You have NASA and alligators and Miami Beach
and
all that.
You could go right by a launch. That would be...
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah. You know, filming that, though, might be a little... They might not be able to film that because... As you know, they can't get approval of that, but
yeah,
they could make it up with special effects, I guess.
Yeah, the Florida Keys, it's like there's a lot of stuff over there. All right, moving on.
Mm-hmm.
This next story is on the OC Register from Amy Taxon. It says, titled Disneyland's Character Performers Launch Union Campaign in Anaheim. It says, label organizers announced the campaign Tuesday saying performers want better safety conditions and scheduling policies to help them keep the magic alive for visitors. While most of the more than 35,000 workers at Disneyland Resort in Southern California already have labor unions, about 1,700 performers in parades, character actors, and support staff do not. Union cards were circulated starting last week to promote forming a labor union under the Actors Equity Association, which traditionally represents actors and stage managers. The group already represents theatrical performers at Walt Disney Company's Florida theme parks, and organizers told the Associated Press. Those who want to form the union, which they are calling Magic United, are seeking to address safety issues in costuming, such as keeping items clean and using appropriate fabrics for high intensity dancing. They also want more stable scheduling.
Yeah.
The effort,
scheduling's, yeah, go yeah, ahead.
Obviously, the effort to organize performers in the character and parade departments in California comes from more than 40 years after those who play Mickey, Goofy, and Donald at Disney World in Florida were organized in the early 1980s by International Brotherhood and Teamsters of Teamsters, a union traditionally known to represent transportation workers.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is scheduling is always an issue, isn't it? That's one of their things. But, you know, if you're going to go by seniority, Oswald's going to get everything.
Right. Well, it Michael, or who is it? Oh, Justin made a good point. I didn't know this, even working there, that he said he was surprised they were not unionized. So,
yeah,
I assumed they were, because the performers, like the musicians, are part of the musicians union.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so much of the park is unionized. It's interesting. The characters weren't, but they are animated, so maybe you know, maybe they had evaded that way, you know.
Maybe the unions didn't know, they thought they were like animatronics or something.
There you go.
They said, we need dues. How are they gonna pay dues? And then we have a couple other things. Yeah, Christine agreed with Justin. Michael said, imagine the performers staying in costume and in character for union negotiations.
You know, they would do things like send Maleficent and yeah. You know.
Yeah,
they would send the heavies to do the negotiating,
the Beast.
I need next week off. Yeah, not the prince. It's got to be the Beast, you know.
He says,
Gaston, how do you read this contract? There's no pictures in here.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Keith said, I support them organizing, but I hope it doesn't mean the Walt Disney Company uses it as an excuse to limit the amount of characters in the park. Oh, yeah.
Right.
I don't know. I'm just surprised they didn't have it all these years. And
I would be interested in hearing from somebody who has done that work, who's either who currently does it or has done it, mm-hmm. and has a good reason why they wouldn't want to be unionized. You know, I mean, other than, you know, I just don't believe in unions or something. I mean, if it's, you know. Yeah. No, I think it's going to change X, Y, and Z for the worse. You know, it's like, okay, oh, yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. I mean, if you unionize, you've got union dues to pay and initiation fees and whatever else. So,
yeah, it's not always a positive thing, but it could be in an instance where conditions, like they're saying, are not good or not what they want.
What scheduling is always going to be, I mean, that's always an issue with theme parks, not just Disney, and not with just characters. It's almost any job, you know.
Yeah, they have needs and they need to fulfill to provide a certain entertainment or certain quota of what they need for that day, of how many cast members. And
And the hour, yeah. I mean, just the hours that people work or the time they want to take off. I mean, you're always, you're going to be in the highest demand is going to be, you know, certain holidays and stuff that you would prefer to have off, you know, and
right.
I mean, think about like all the landscape work that gets done real early in the morning, you know. I mean, if people had their druthers, a lot of people would not want to get up that early to go to work, but so it's not just characters, it's all the other stuff that goes on too, you know.
Heath made another good point. He said, I keep wondering if that's part of the reason they haven't had a show in the Hyperion except for Rogers since the lockdown, the expensive equity actors. Makes sense.
Those types of shows, including the one back at the Fantasyland Theater, they've had union
that's
actors,
separate, yeah,
you know, in those shows. So I don't know if they've done that for every show, but they have in some shows for sure.
Right.
But I don't know if there's anything else that you want to bring into the chat room.
Yeah, they're discussing this. There's a lot of good comments. Michael was saying that he was in the union for Disney Company animators and benefits outweighed the dues, which is good.
Right. That's what you want to, I mean, that's what you want. I'd hate for people to find the opposite, you know, if they go through the trouble of this and then it ends up the benefit of it doesn't, you know, you hope the benefit of it outweighs the costs, you know, so mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's always, you know, we had, you know, like we'd mentioned, we were part of the union there, the custodial union in the Orange County.
Yeah.
Janitorial or whatever they called it, services.
And, well, Service Employees International.
Right.
You know, so yeah. All right.
Well, let's move on here.
All right. Well, I wanted to include, you know, they recently had Sweetheart Nights at the resort, and I include a link to laughingplace.com. Doobie Mosley over at Laughing Place, we've had him on the program. Doobie's a good friend.
Yeah.
He says, a romantic trip report from our 1996 Disneyland meet to this year's Sweethearts Night. So he wrote about Sweethearts Night, and as he says, he goes, I met my wife Rebecca at Disneyland in November of 1996 at Coke Corner. We spent much of the next 13 months together at Disneyland. I proposed to her in August of 1997, right where we met, and got married that December. Disneyland is a very special and romantic place for us, so we were very excited to have the chance to attend one of this year's Disneyland After Dark Sweethearts Nights. And so he says, our goal was simple, just have a good time, the two of us at this special place. So, you know, if you want to read about what they thought about it, because they're, you know, they're Disneyland experts, and like us, they're not just some random couple.
Right.
They're a Disney couple. So if you want to hear what their thoughts, read what their thoughts are about it, and what, you know, maybe it's something you'll want to do next year if you like what you read. So and as always, I'm wondering if there's anyone from the chat room who has anything to say about Sweethearts Nights or any of the After Dark events.
Not yet.
Not yet. But yeah, there are a lot of Disney couples out there, you know, people who were, maybe they were cast members, maybe they were just pass holders, not cast members, met there, or they met on, you know, they met other ways, but discovered that they had a mutual enjoyment of Disneyland. And I don't think you have to be a Disney couple to enjoy Sweetheart Nights, but I think it helps. I think you'll get more out of it, I think, if you're a Disney couple. But I don't think you actually have to be. It might be something you do as a special thing anyway, if you if you've never done it before, especially. So,
yeah, sounds good.
I did want to mention that, of course, myshad.com had their regular updates. One of them from February 7th is a Floyd Norman surprise and the rise of construction land. And that was by the author Mice Chat staff. Okay. So step into the soggy world of Disneyland, transformed into construction land this week as we usher in a new month and lots of rain. Amidst the whirl and construction projects, the long-anticipated unveiling of Pixar Place has finally arrived, and this month's Celebrate Soulfully has a beautiful tribute to the legendary Floyd Norman. Meanwhile, our Mice Chat Gumball Rally crowned a victorious gumball champion, and while patchy rain started on Friday, it became much more steady on Sunday afternoon and was torrential at times. You know, if you are headed to the park early this week, please be careful. Well, that's already passed, but yeah. You can click through to the other. Those things are always heavy with photographs. The other one was from Dusty Sage on February 12th, and his update was titled Celebrations Super Bowl Surprise and Blue Skies. So as bad as things have been looking for the Disney company since the ouster of Bob Chapek a little over a year ago, this past week showed some blue sky at last. We'll take a look at what that means for the parks, but we'll also look at the latest construction, refurbishments, and a variety of big celebrations in the next week at the resort. And with rain holding off for at least the next 6 days and reasonable crowd levels, it's looking like a stellar time to visit the Disneyland Resort. And so you can, you know, click through, see their pictures, get the whole scoop on everything that's happening from their perspective. Anything else in the chat room that we're going to talk about?
Well, John was just, you know, back to what we were talking about with the union.
Yeah.
John was just saying if they work holidays, they should get paid more. Certain holidays, not all
certain,
holidays.
Certain holidays were time and a half, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's holiday pay. I mean, we would often work extra hours too. So.
Right.
There would be, you know, extra money from that.
Yeah. And then Justin was saying he hopes Haunted Mansion will be open this summer. Keith said he hopes it will be open by the Expo, which I think it will be because that's for the Halloween season. I think that's their goal. And they've already kind of advertised that would be part of the Halloween offerings since it's starting early this year. John said I'm probably in the minority, but I could go without the Haunted Mansion holiday going forward. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's very popular. I don't think they'll get rid of it anytime soon. They may add things to it or change it, but I don't.
You kind of wonder if they had just a pure Nightmare Before Christmas attraction built from the ground up, mm-hmm. if it would be as popular as Haunted Mansion Holiday. Probably not. I don't know.
Probably
I like
not.
The movie, but you know, I think part of this is that it is the Haunted Mansion. So
yeah, for sure. And the Haunted Mansion's always been popular, but I feel like over the past 10, 15 years, it's had this, what do they call it, resurgence. I mean, just seems like, you know, especially since the merchandise has really stepped up and there's been movie, you know, there's been the more recent movie, the Muppets Haunted Mansion, which was done really well. So yeah, there's been a lot of talk on other podcasts, and this kind of leads into the next thing for refurbs, but there's been a lot of talk of when this attraction is going to come back. You know, I've heard people say it's not coming back till, you know, sometime in 2025. I've even heard it's not coming back at all, which is weird. And then some people think that we won't see the regular Haunted Mansion until after the next holiday season, which would be 2025, I guess, is what they're saying. That's the regular Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
Because if they were to open it in July or even June, would it be worth it to have the regular Haunted Mansion and then go back to the, in 2 months later, go back to the holiday version? I don't know. It only takes them 2 weeks now to do that. They've been doing it long enough.
Yeah. They come up with, you know, ways of doing it quickly. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, for summer, you want your ideas to have as many attractions up and running as possible. I think it all just depends on Tiana's, to be honest. I think if Tiana's opens by summer, then they'll probably wait.
Well, Disneyland, I don't think they're going to have theirs open. Maybe they will, but I highly doubt it.
No, I don't know. You never know. I mean,
they're testing the logs at in the Florida version, but you know, it's not like they changed the ride system. So that's just kind of, let's make sure any bugs got worked out. Because you know, if you're doing work in there, some of the equipment might get affected. You know, sensors might get jostled. So you got to make sure the ride functions correctly still, you know.
Those new animatronics being near the water, like you said, moisture and I don't know. I think that that's 4 months from now. If you were to say June, you know, say if it opened in July, that's 5 months. I mean, that's a lot of time still.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move into the refurb.
You want refurbs and update us on stuff that's closed indefinitely.
Refurb land. Okay. Astro Orbiter has been closed for a while, and it reopens on March 15th.
Ooh.
Yeah, another month. Haunted Mansion, as we mentioned, it's closed with no reopening date yet. Mark Twain Riverboat, that one got pushed back, and I think it was because of all the rain that they received down there.
That'll do it. A lot of work you can't do in the rain,
right? Especially painting.
We did have a lot of rain. More than usual
last week, week before. Yeah. So that will, as of now, supposed to reopen on February 24th. So that's another week or so from now. Grizzly River Run is closed and will reopen on March 1st. Radiator Springs Racers will be down from February 26th until March 2nd. Hmm. And then the Incredicoaster will be down from March 4th to the 15th. And then Redwood Creek Challenge Trail closed March 4th with no reopening date at this time.
Huh.
That's all I have.
All right, the closed indefinitely on the Redwood Creek Challenge Trail. Huh. Well, we love having our Patreon supporters join us in the chat room. And, you know, you can join them there if you support the show. Just go to, you know, our Patreon and see if you can do that.
Yeah.
We do these current events episodes, you know, every 2 weeks, catch you up on what's happening at the resort. The other weeks, we have a main topic episode. So be sure to subscribe to us if you haven't already. There's places you can do that. It's free, and you know, you get these free episodes when they come out, like Apple Podcasts and YouTube and wherever you like to listen. And let other people know how they can hear the Sweep Spot Podcast. Let them know that we are the number one Disneyland podcast hosted by two former Disneyland custodial cast members.
Number right, one.
All right.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
So thank you, everybody, for joining us. Go to the website, and we've got some great merchandise there. And everything you need to know about the show is there.
That's right. And thank you to everyone in the chat room for joining us tonight. We'll do this every month, and we look forward to it each time. Next month might be a little different. We'll do it next month. I just don't know when because of my little trip there. I think it falls on a Friday that we would normally record. So more information on that, but you should get the notification. I usually try to send it out at least a week before we do this. Then I try to send out couple more that week to kind of remind everyone. But thank you so much, everyone. Really appreciate it. And we'll talk with you next time.